And then you are sitting for the first practice, seeing the sound intervenes very strongly. See what to do then. I told you, if you cannot bear that strong sound, it is better to divert your attention to seeing. That will polish down, I mean.
Instead of the divert mind to seeing?
Yes, to seeing. unbearableness of the seeing. Or leave that portion, let the sound, follow the sound that will drag you into the beyond. See? Either of the two, which you like. If sound is very strong, then you cannot bear, then just divert your attention to see. See? That will, unbearableness will go. That will become bearable. Or follow it. That will drag you into the beyond. You follow?
You may sit
at the same, position, the same position, that makes no difference. Sitting position is always better because it is the position of the child in the womb of the mother. In that case, you withdraw. You simply begin to sit on feet. Your soul will withdraw. That is sitting position. That privilege.
So I should change. If I'm going to listen, I should change.
All right, you just take the fingers from the thumbs from your ears and see. Repeat the name. That will polish you. Or if you follow it, that will drag you into the ground. Go and master will be waiting for you. Yes?
Master, how should one conduct oneself in the presence of a master?
That's a different position, you see, each man's own advancement. I think by questioning what I have seen, we put one question, one phase of it. He replies that. You simply leave off all questions, simply hearing. And become receptive. All your questions will be replied. As I told you, that I only put two questions to my master, all through life. First was about visualizing master's form, that I told you. The other was, what is the proof that this science will be alive, remain alive after you? And he said, whomsoever I will order, I am responsible, for others I am not. These are his words. And then I further put him the question, in what form he will be, if he is in sick form? So these are all the questions. I learnt all simply looking into him and hearing what he said. Now this is not the fate of everybody who has stepped into the intellectual plane. He must have why and wherefore. He must understand the why and wherefore of things. See? He should put in, clarify all questions. Because he won't be able to take up the way unless he's intellectual satisfied. He's got some proofs. So it's better only to hear your heart. As I told you, generally, there are one learned man, the other is unlearned man. And there's a stair on this stair to reach the top of the building. The one who is all right, if you go up to see sun, go up. The unlearned man starts going up, you see. The unlearned man says, well, first of all, give me any example, any evidence from anybody that is, I see sun when they go up, one thing. Then say, well, suppose my put the script, the what to do. You see? You would like to understand. Then he puts in a day to go 50 steps, 40 steps, 30 steps, and the same guy. It's all up. You what? And it's there. You will see when you visualize, you withdraw your attention from outside. Rise above outward faculty. Mind is still. The feet of the soul is at like the eyes. Direct your attention just there, the place where the humanity is there, third eye or single eye is there. You see that? It is going up, you see that? Right? So those who got something that person, they should let loose all, give all questions. Let them say, and those who reply. Some of the people write to me, this is where the food is, I don't know all that, you come in. He writes, I want only all alone time with you. All right, I'll give it, you come here, sit inside the room and lock it up, keep the key with yourself. Don't come out unless your questions are in bed. This is what I tell them, what to do. Questions are the same nature in a different way put up, that's all. Unless you go up, you cannot see. When you're near the top of the roof, near the roof, then you see little glimpses of light. You really go up, you see full light. So if that is who have entered the plane of intellectual plane, they should be satisfied. Then these, all these seem to be explained, such and such master said, Sanskrit said, such and such said. Only for his little courage to take off, it appears to be correct. But he is not satisfied unless he sees for himself.
What's the explanation of the different colors of lights that are seen in meditation?
No book will give you. I didn't. But that is Jesus first. That is Jesus first. That depends on the inner development background, some dominating attributes in his life, you see? That's the cause of all different colors. So, yellow golden light is spiritual. Pure milk, pure white light also. This is spiritual. Red light you'll find here at least there is some of the rajogun, I mean, pushing attitude. So these are different stages, different colors. Different sounds also.
Are they different lights for different people, or are they the same progression of lights for everybody?
Those who have got background, they go up further. Those who have to start their son, then there's regular way. They see sky, they see stars, they reach stars, then toss and they move comes, then toss and they. Those who have got the background, they start all at once from there. That's it.
Because I was just thinking, every morning in here when we meet, everybody sees various lights, and
yes.
We seem to be about on the same level, many of us.
Well, yes, some folks, some don't. There will see two masters. Masters are one thing.
Yeah, now that of course is beyond most of us. But
not beyond. I guess later, you see, of course, those who are regular, they have it. They talk to us.
Blue light. I didn't touch on that. Everybody seems to see the blue light. Yeah, what's that?
That's the first.
Yeah.
Loving attitude. You see, the picture of Lord Krishna, blue, dhoti, you see? Yellow, blue, that's light. I mean golden light. These are three. From the ugly. Form, you see, his face is blue, clothes are yellow, and that is, that shows the combination of different dressments.
So really, when you start to meditate, you should try to get at that golden light as rapidly as possible.
You cannot visualize, you see. That comes after self. when you reach that point, that is the point. But that is, I told you, that is where master form manifests.
And these lights just seem to stay for a short time. Will that increase as time goes by?
By regular practice. Regular practice. And that time is increased only the longer you can stay in whatever you see, continue without break. The more progress is also there.
Suppose you have to scratch yourself, does that take you right back to the beginning again?
You are not reason about what is consciousness. Oh. Otherwise, if you are reason about, you won't feel it.
Oh.
No? You won't. That means you are still not at the top of his roof, you see. You are still on the way 50 steps or 70 steps or something. You know?
Some people have said too that just about all the body consciousness disappears and there they are up above, but nothing else happens. That's where the grace of the Master enters in, isn't it?
Grace of the Master works the very first day when he initiates. It is there. Money depositing your name in the bank. That is why you go to the window to have the money there. The more you can stay at the window, the more you can have.
If you don't mind my saying
no, I don't mind anything. Do what possible.
I think I've read in some books.
Books written
that,
by whom?
That the grace
written by whom?
Either by
whom, I tell you.
Either by you or by your master, Sawan Singh.
Tell me. I hope I'm grace, right?
That the grace of the master is at the pure discretion of the master.
Surely.
Is that discretion sometimes, does that imply then that on occasion the master might like someone more than someone else?
Less in the worldly man? Is he a worldly man?
No, I mean among initiates, shall we say.
Among initiates who are more obedient, is that more of a thing?
He gets more grace.
Grace, the more you turn your face, the more grace you have it.
Yes.
You touch your eyes in the room and you say, you see, don't see any light, then it is for you to come out.
Yes.
He has loved you, see, that is why he is here. Nobody, man may give clothes, may give money, may give buildings. Nobody gives his life. He gives you his life. His life is light and sound. He gives you life, his very life, to start with, so that you will dwell. And here, who can live? Here also, you find Vishnu will give his blood. That you think is a very great sacrifice he has made. But he gives his life. His life is what? What made flesh?
You placed a portion of your life in us.
Man, yes. Man who sees light within, he gives you light. When there is no light within, how can you give light? From a burning lamp, you can light another lamp. But the lamp which is not already lit, how can you? Another lamp could be lit?
That gets me back to a question that I asked earlier, but which perhaps I didn't phrase well enough.
Yes.
That seems appropriate.
All right, welcome.
How should we behave in the presence of a master? Some of us aren't certain. Some of us wonder if we're doing the right thing, if we're according the correct courtesy and so on.
Quote him in whatever attitude you like, if you are really after the truth. You won't be annoyed by your question 101.
Yes.
Saying slightly, saying loving. You may go to him even for criticism. You give in a very loving way, you reply to them. If he understands, he will change. People come like that also. They put in so many 101 questions, And they will see, because I told you, many things are taught not by tongue. Only one third. Two thirds through direction. Twice. So when a man sits in front, his soul was either the windows of the soul, that also is two thirds. One third by word of mouth.
I mean, do you behave toward a master as one would toward an emperor?
Hmm? What? Take him as your elder brother. Take him as your father, as your friend. Just understand what he says. When you get something substantial, for which you bear out evidence yourself it is so, then start, go on what he says. The highest criterion, I think, is a master that who is able to give you something to start, some capital to start. That capital is given only by raising you above the body corner, for a while. He, whosoever can give you that, you can say safely, he's got something beyond. How great he is, I think when you know him, how great you become, that way. In the early times when I went to my master, some people told me, how great is your master? So I told him, I don't know how great he is, that much I know for certain is more than I want. Very honest reply. If you know a guru or a master, you become a master. You cannot know. Very few people really know the master. They know only that much some part of it. Whatever he condescends to give something to them.
While you are having this talk here with us tonight, are you having similar talks on other planes with more highly advanced of your initiates?
You see, the devotees, they are not left alone, you see. Though they are not attached to the world, they are taken to the different planes where they are fit. Whatever stage they are advanced. If you know attachment for the world left, except for the master, he will not be sent down to the man by the evil. You take the first sentence, give him problems for further. He advises them there. But there is one thing to note. It takes much longer time to have that thing as compared to what you can have now in shorter time. What you can do in years there, you can do in months here. Why I press it? Why my master press? A learned man, you see, scholar, is only scholar after that when he is scholar when he life. If I go out of this building, does not mean they have changed. Whatever we have done, we go to that place. From there we have to go. The more we can do here, the better.
But it must be done correctly.
And proper guidance and help. Help too.
Does incorrect meditation count in our favor?
This is as compared with not doing it better. That's what it says. But it is not. You won't have the progress here. Well, Hafiz is a great saint of Persia. He says, well, sit down in meditation at his door. Don't think whether he has heard it or not. Your duty is to sit at his door, quite cut off from the world. And that is all. Nothing more to do. Do it. Quite cut off from the world, then you have it. Why we don't transcend? Because we are tight. We have got so many entanglements.
Assuming that we are able to have complete concentration, Yes. How long should it take ordinarily for our body to become completely numb?
When Master initiates, he takes you into Vrindavan. Don't you see the full sun, full moon, some classes full moon, the very first day initiation. It happens here. Then?
Yes.
It's about time to read it. Little thought of it. Even as his own, according to background, of course. But there are cases like that. One class is big star, class sometimes moon, or sun also. It doesn't take long. One may put it in the head of you. I try to explain to you. I went to their home when I went to Palau, Pindia, I was in the time of my master. Many also, when I went to my office on the way, I just entered their home, sit down, they were all sitting, his husband and other brothers. How long it takes to leave the body, to be down. I told, do you want to know? All right, I said. They thought he is dead. You see? It takes no time, it's a custom. That means practice, you see. That's the table. In the beginning it is difficult. The very first day, how much you do, you see, you get something. That something only comes when you rise above the body consciousness or nearing the top. Isn't it? When you have to do. This is a very regular science that 2 and 2 make 4. No doubt about it, people can have and see. And that's the only criterion of a master. No propaganda. Propaganda, people have with money, they do so much. One untruth. Propaganda is truth. 10 times, 20 times, that becomes as equal as truth.
I'm not sure of the exact wording of Tracy's question, but why is it that it's so much more difficult to listen to the sound than it is to look for the...
Because the mind is killed with that. Man would like to go into the opening of the cannon center in there rather than hear the sound. Because hearing the sound kills the mind forever. You engage in seeing, all right. But hearing the sound is difficult. You see, he says, my death is come. It is out of control.
Do you still want us to have exactly the same amount of sound listening as sight viewing?
That depends, you see, how far you would like to advance. Want to advance quicker, you would like to put in more time. Both are counterparts, light and sound. I say you give equal time, you advance quicker. But then we do that. Simply if you are the sound will drag you into because you see light. I don't mean man must know where he's going, you see both. Light is necessary to know where you are going. The sound will drag you like as if you do not know where you are going. So both things can do it. Sound is the guiding principle. Those who take up the only light, they are enveloped by light, do not know where to go further. There is the sound principle guides. If you are not dwelt by all these Hindu gentlemen, they disappear from this sound. But when they are dwelt by sound and light, they don't know what to do. Where to go? Both things go hand in hand.
I think somebody is trying to make some kind of signal, and I don't know what the meaning of it is.
What's that? You know the Kaba number?
I have no more questions.
No, to put it in the jacket of the side down, you see. Find you out that. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
No thanks. Thanks to carry no value. As I told you the other day, thousands of darling beings, all I thank you. Give the little taste of one thing, give him. So thank you, thank you. That becomes a misnomer.
Should we stop saying thank you?
No, this is what I said. What? If I get something from my own self, then also very God thanks. But I don't give anything from my own self. This is what I've got. Somebody's, what you say. Stone given to me to look at. I can say anymore. Well, my master saw me when he spent sick. So he said, alright, go and have it and do it. Because it's not my and my it is only kept in view. Let's say what you man should put. I think it will be better if you put in good time. Sound prince will give him more concentration. And sound principle is the only way to control the mind. Quicker way. Lord Krishna has in his lifetime that he plunged into the river Jamna. There was a dragon with 100 heads. And he played on flute and controlled it. That's a metaphor. To show this mind, the 100-headed dragon within us. There are 100 ways to mislead us. If that can be controlled, only can be controlled by that sound. Guru Ram Das says, when you come in contact with Nam, mind is controlled. Nam is your mindfulness. Things are very clear, you see, at daylight. Not difficult as people think. Again, I will say it is difficult to become a man. God is searching here. The ideal man. Kavi says, I am so purified now. Then God is after me, calling me Kabir, 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 she's after me, calling me like anything. Suppose you've got 4 or 5 sons. One son is very dutiful. He doesn't understand in a very inkling what is in his mind. He follows that without asking for it. Do you think father will not be after him? Of course he will share to every son, but he will be foremost to whom he will hand over all the keys to look after the instincts of others too. He won't give keys to everybody. Be-level, regulated pace. Take when you are initiated that God power is acting. That is master power, Christ power. It won't leave you unless till the end of the world, unless it takes you to Satna. Further Satna takes you into further, advance you into this worldless state. Now, taking his vision, you one thing. And further, don't purposely transcend a break his mind. Such a man is not to fear, not in this world, but in the 3 worlds. You keep all in way. Baba Jamal Singh, when he initiated somebody, he would say, look here, I have now resided in you. Mind that. Don't do anything unlawful thing. This is very what Baba Jamal used to say. I am now sitting in you, resided in you. very youth. All right, then when they came back, all right, what have you done? How are you proceeding?
Good morning and welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of a talk entitled, To Him Who Is Obedient, The Keys Are Given. This talk was given on September 16, 1970 in Delhi, India. Our reader this morning is David Halliburton. Hello, David.
Hi, Christine.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to be reading a talk given by Master entitled, This World Is Not Your Home. And it was given by Master on October 16, 1972 at Satbani Ashram, his first public talk there. Master's reference at the beginning to embracing is his humorous comment on the extremely crowded conditions prevailing in the satsang hall. Today is the best time to embrace each other. We are all brothers and sisters in God. So, welcome you are to Satbani Ashram. They say that two kings cannot live together in one country, but hundreds of beggars can. All right, you have come to Satbani Ashram. Simply here, just look to the purpose for which you have come. That's the main thing. When masters come, they look to the world in its right perspective. We also come and see what is going on here. But the level that they see from is quite different from ours. He sees that some are being born, some die young, some die old. This is going on. What is all this? How does this body work? It is all laid down as if it were a machine without any mover. So they solved the mystery. There is some power which is working in the body and is withdrawn. The body works as long as the indweller of the body is there. And wonderful it is that this body, which has so many holes, eyes open, mouth open, nostrils, ears, with all that, the indweller cannot run out of it. So, body works as long as we are in the body. Who are we? We are conscious beings, conscious entities. But we are also in the body as long as we are controlled in the body. Otherwise, we could have run away out of it at our own will and pleasure. That we cannot do. So that power which controls us in the body, that is called the God into expression power. So this body, the human body, is considered to be the highest in all creation, next to God. Mohammedan literature tells us that when the man body was made, God ordered the angels to bow down to it. So great is man, you see. In the human form, only we can do something which we cannot do in any other form of life. Except for the man body, all bodies are bound. They have got no free will. In the man body, we are bound to some extent, and also free to some extent. When the railroad lines are laid down, the train will run over them. It is for you to lay down the lines whichever way you like. So masters found that there is a golden opportunity if we just finish off the reactions from the past which we have done ourselves. And we have got some free will also. And that free will is, we can go to our home. This world is not our home. We are conscious entities, and our home can only be all consciousness. Kabir and others say that we are of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness, and we are drops in the ocean of all consciousness, embodied in the human body, which is the highest in all creation, in which we can have our way back to God. So when masters come, they see that we have got so many labels on our bodies. Someone calls himself a Hindu, someone else a Muslim, someone else Christian, Jewish, and so on. But the master says that God made man, only man. Labels were not put on when he was born. We put them on later. When? When the masters who solved the mystery of life, and those who met them also solved the mystery of life, when they left the scene, these labels of various social bodies came up to keep their teachings alive. They are the schools of thought which we have joined. The purpose of these schools was for many people to derive benefit from them. So long as there were practical people, the people were also able to solve the mystery of life. And what was that? That we are conscious beings, drops in the ocean of all consciousness, brothers and sisters in God, embodied in the human form. And we are bound, to some extent, as a reaction of the past, what we have done in our past lives. As you sow, so shall you reap. But after we have passed beyond that, we can know ourselves and know God. And as long as there were practical people, benefit was derived that way. But for want of practical people, the same formations began to stagnate, and deterioration came up. So masters have been sent here. God has been sending men, whosoever he chooses. That is his job. It is not by votes that he has chosen, like a prime minister or president or anything. From whomsoever he has to take work, he sends such like people to guide us back home, to take us out of the delusion we are under. And when masters come, you see, they don't address the isms or the labels. They don't say, Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian, come on, hear me now. Either they address the soul or the human body. What do they say? Well, they say self-evident truth. This body is not your permanent home. You have to leave the body. All have left the body. Kings or subjects, philosophers, saints, incarnations. Whoever took the body had to leave the body. So, similarly, you have to leave the body. We are conscious entities, and this body is made of matter. And they say, what connection can there be with that? You are a conscious entity. You are living in a man body, which is material, which is changing at every moment of life. And you are being dragged along with it. But this body is the only opportunity given to you to make the best use of it. And that best use is what? O man, know thyself. Are you the man body? You say no, because you will leave it. We say, it is my body. We never say, I am body. Just as we say, it is my watch. It is my coat. Similarly, we say, my intellect says so. My eyes see so. My ears hear so. Every day we use these expressions, that it is not you, but yours. But when masters come, they see that we have identified ourselves with body and outgoing faculties, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We say, my, but we don't mean my. You simply say, you work at the level of the man body, but it is changing, and the world around us is changing, being made of matter, at the same speed at which the body is changing, and we are identified with it. That is an optical illusion, and it appears to be stationary. But when masters come, they are good observers. They see what is going on. The master is a conscious man, a conscious entity. He is not deluded so that he considers that this world is his home, or that he will never die. It is true that soul will never die. But as we are identified with the body, we say, my body won't die. That is the great delusion in which we are all going. So the first thing that they tell us is this, that this world is not our home. Also, that this human body, which has been given to us, although all scriptures say it is the golden opportunity, still, it is not our permanent home. It is temporary, but it is the highest form in all creation. The rishis of old and others who have left the body and enjoyed the bliss of higher planes, when they returned, they selected the man body to enter. But now you see, we are working on the level of man body. So we are under a great delusion. The reason is that our souls are under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and they are dragged like anything toward the outward enjoyments. So we are identified with this. We cannot differentiate ourselves in a practical way. Intellectually, we do say, I am not the body, I am not the intellect, I have the outgoing faculties. So this is the delusion under which we are going. Every day, every hour, every minute is bringing us closer to the great final change, which is called death. That is awaiting us, each one of us. Guru Nanak said that the body has been betrothed to the negative power. She will take it away sooner or later. So this is not the place where we are to live. Then what to do? Wake up. You are conscious entities, you see. You are drops in the ocean of all consciousness. That all consciousness is all wisdom. It is all permanent, eternal, and it is all joy and peace. That reflection you have got in you. That is the reflection. But you are under the wrong impression, being identified with the human body and outgoing faculties. When a child talks, you see, he says, oh, I am the best. Nobody can know more than me. That is the reflection of that conscious God power which is working there, which is all consciousness. Similarly, we have identified with our body, so that reflection in our soul, we take it as from the body. That is all bliss, and we are after bliss. Ever since we were born, we have wanted some happiness, some joy. We earn money. What for? To have happiness. We have families. What for? For happiness. We want possessions. What for? For happiness. But this is a changing panorama. You are attached to the body, but body will have to leave you. You are under orders. you are imprisoned in the man body as a reaction of the past, according to the flowing pen of God, which writes according to our own past actions. So this is the first thing. The grand delusion is. But as you are identified with it, how can you come out of it? That's the point. So masters, have pity on us. We ourselves cannot know ourselves, because we are identified with the body and outside things and have forgotten ourselves. Yet, all methods and practices we take up for knowing ourselves and knowing God, they are related to these very things. How then can we rise above them? So, masters give us a demonstration. First, they give out, man, know thyself, who you are and what you are. You are not the body. You are not the intellect. You have got outer possessions only, which will leave you when you leave the body. If the body does not go along with you, how can other things which are possessed on account of it? This is the first thing they come up and tell us. But we do not believe. How are we separate from the body? How can we know that? So, he gives us a demonstration. All right, sit down. He says that the outward expression of our soul is attention. God is all attention, and it is that attention which works and is identified with the outside. We have to withdraw that attention from all outside and from all the body below. It is the attention which gives strength to the body. It is the attention which gives strength to the mind. It is the attention which gives strength to the intellect and to the outgoing faculties also. You must have experienced in your life sometimes that somebody calls you, but you do not hear. Some man passes by you, but you don't recognize him. Somebody comes and sits by you, but you are not aware of it. They complain, "Look here, we called, you didn't reply. Why? I have passed by you. Why did you not see me?" You can only reply that your attention was absorbed in something, which apparently means that unless the attention is with the outgoing faculties, they do not work. So the rishis had recourse to that. They developed very long methods involving physical body, pranas, heart, intellect, and everything. But it took hundreds of years to rise above body consciousness that way. Hundreds of years. Because they took pranas along with the attention. So they simply said, "Well, look here. You have all these things, but you are attention. It is on account of your attention that everything works. If your attention is absorbed in your own self, there is no world for you. The world is created when you see. It is already there, of course, but you become conscious of it when you see. I am looking toward you, not at my back, so I can't see who is sitting there. Unless I look at them, I can't see them. They're there, of course, but we don't become aware of it unless we direct our attention there. This is the main thing to be learned." So we are conscious entities. We are all attention. If we control our attention, then we can know the over-self. If we know ourself, we are able to know the over-self. The difficulty lies where? The pity of it is that we do not know how to know ourselves. We simply know ourselves at the level of feelings, or through drawing inferences, or through emotions. Really, you have not known yourself by self-analysis. Just as, this is my watch, I can take it off. This is my handkerchief, I can put it off. These are my spectacles, I can take them off. Can we take off our body, our outgoing faculties? Masters say yes, and they are competent to give you some demonstration of that. How can you withdraw your attention from all outside? When you completely withdraw from all outside and from the body below, you will see, you will feel that there is no world and no body below. And the further way up, that controlling power, that you can know. But this only happens when you know yourself. So masters come and they give out, look here, man, this body, this world is not your home. If only we keep that motto before us always, our angle of vision will change. Then all our actions will change. Our whole way of living will change. For instance, you have come here for 4 or 5 days. You know it is not your home. You are only here 5 days. After that, we have to leave. So, what will you do? Build buildings here? Are you possessing, fighting with one another? This is mine. This is yours. Are you going to do that? No. Because you know you have to leave. This is not your place. And this is the first thing that masters try to bring home. This place is not your home. What do they say then? Are you fully convinced it is not your home? We say, yes, yes, but really, we are not convinced. Our lips say so. Our brain says, yes, it appears so. But actually, we don't consider that way. Because these things become as our home, and naturally that affects our whole angle of vision. So masters say, if this is not your home, why not go back to your home? You are conscious entities. Your home can only be all conscious. You have been sent down here by God. Why don't you go back home? So God sends his messengers to tell people, come on, make way, back home, please. Man-body is the highest rung in creation, which you have already got. You are very fortunate. Now, this is the golden opportunity. You can come back. And they demonstrate to you how to come back. This meditation is for that purpose. How to withdraw your attention from outside. So if you are convinced at heart, your whole life will change. Why don't you go back home? There is a hitch about it. You have to go, after all. After a month, or 2 months, or 10 days, or 5 days. If the time is fixed, then, if there is a student whose examination is coming up, the date is fixed for that. If a month is left, then he just eliminates going out for work to save time for study so that he may be ready for his examination. When there is only a week left, what does he do? When he goes to the bathroom, even then, he takes his books because the time is overhead. So we know our time is fixed, of course, but we do not know when. That's the pity. how much more should we be ready to go? Just think for a moment. Take this home, you see. Take this one lesson. It will change your whole angle of life. Because we have forgotten ourselves, the pity is we simply see the world from the physical level. We say, this is heaven, if at all there is any heaven. Some people say those who are too much given up to these things, well, what is heaven? This is heaven. Why should we care? The reason is, you see, masters do come. They give out this thing. We don't believe them. But with our own eyes, we daily see people going to the cremation place or burial ground. One is coming, burying the other. Another is coming. A third man is coming. 5, 10, 20 are coming. What is all this going on? Will not your body be taken away someday? Now you are taking the bodies of those who have left. Somebody will also take your body too, is it not? So if this world is not our home, then naturally the question follows, where is our home? If we are conscious entities, our home can only be all consciousness. How can we go back home? That is our true work. So masters give out, in a few words, masters' words are few and simple, and they are pregnant with meaning. Look here, this is not your home. The human body is a temple given to you as a golden opportunity to go back to your home. What can that home be? That is the question. It can only be all consciousness because we are conscious. So they say, well, go back to your home. How long will you continue to live in this world? After all, everybody has gone. The last enemy that we have to conquer is death. No escape from death. What is death? Death is leaving the body, but we do not know how to leave the body. That is one thing that makes us afraid. The other is, what will be our fate? So death appears to be a bugbear. Everybody is afraid of it. We want to have endless life here. But after all, whether you want it or not, you will be dragged away from this body. If a pigeon sees there is a cat coming and he closes his eyes, do you think the cat won't eat him up? Closing eyes won't do. You have got discrimination. You have got foresight. Make the best use of them. This is the only thing I am telling you. If you take it as your motto, if you are convinced of it, your whole life will change. Then you will do something. You will think, well, if it is not my home, then where is my home? So masters say, if you are conscious entities, and your home is no other than all consciousness, and in the man body you have got the golden opportunity, what is your real work, most personal work? To find the way back home. All other work is only action or reaction. You have to pay off debts to those to whom you have been connected, brothers, sisters, wives, husbands, mothers, children. When that is paid off, then, if we are again attached to the world, then naturally we will again go where we are attached. That's all. If we are attached to our home, if we want to go to our home and love that home, and have some contact with it through the grace of some master, then naturally we will go where we are attached, back home. And my time has run out. I will continue reading this next time I read. I've been reading from a talk given by Master called This World Is Not Your Home. It was printed in the January 1974 issue of Satsang Desh. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, David, for reading Master's inspiring words. There were 89 participants at this morning's Satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Divine Master, for bringing us together to receive your most valuable guidance and blessings.
After all, we have to leave the body. This gives a demonstration of how to leave the body. If you work day-to-day regular practice, what you will find? When you time off, you leave the body, you are jolly. You go smiling because you know to leave the body every day. All glory and beauty lies within you. God resides in you.